On July 6th of last year, a train carrying 2 million gallons of crude oil from North Dakota exploded in a small Canadian town, killing 47 people. South of the border, Americans took note.
Following that accident, the U.S. Department of Transportation issued safety alerts and set to work drafting regulations to prevent such a disaster from occurring on U.S. soil.
And the railroad industry promised to conduct more safety inspections, impose speed limits, and route oil trains away from populated areas. But since the Canadian explosion, there were three oil train explosions in the U.S. Many of the promised safety measures haven't been implemented.
The American oil boom means that highly volatile crude oil is transported every day over what our next guest describes as an aging and often defective railroad system. Marcus Stern is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist. His article, Boom, North America's Explosive Oil by Rail Problem, was reported in collaboration with the Nation Institute's Investigative Fund and can be found on weather.com. Marcus, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
I want to go back to July of 2013 and that accident that I think many of us remember in Canada. And as I recall, it was an unattended freight train and it sort of went down a hill and exploded in this downtown area in a very spectacular fashion. You say that that Canadian accident was made in America. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, when you think about it, all of the oil was pumped out of the ground in North Dakota. It was loaded onto American rail cars. It moved across American rail lines until it got into Canada, in which place it was actually still on a railway that was operated. It was an American-based railway, a Maine-based railway company. And so in so many respects, it was American-made. And, of course, because it was only 10 miles from the state of Maine, a lot of first responders who went to the scene were American first responders.
And we have had accidents like that. I mean, the Canadian one was very big and very powerful, killed 47 people. But we've had similar accidents in the United States.
Yes, not long after that one, about 3 months later, there was, let me just say, after the Canada one, it was certainly a wake-up call for the Canadian regulators. I'm not so sure that for the American regulators, that they really took it that seriously. I think they looked at it as sort of a fluke. It was a Canadian accident, not an American accident, as far as they were concerned. And I think to some extent it was really downplayed among insiders on the U.S. side of the border who really needed to be a little more active or proactive, perhaps. But, yeah, 3 months later, there was a tremendous explosion, similar oil train explosion in North Dakota in a place called Castleton. It was right outside of Castleton. Rail cars, one after another, blew, and each time one blew, it sent fireballs several hundred feet into the air, and it spread flaming oil in all directions on the ground. And each rail car as it blew then acted as a blowtorch on the next rail car until it too blew. And the only way first responders could really handle this was just to create a huge perimeter and keep people away from the train while it blew itself out. And then so after that, there was one in Aliceville, Alabama, that scorched 9 acres of wetlands and timberlands, burned for 3 days. And there was one April 30th, the most recent one, was in Lynchburg, Virginia, which set the James River on fire. And some of that fiery oil moved downstream toward Richmond, Virginia.
As you look at those accidents, is there a common cause that sort of goes over them? Or are we talking about infrastructure? Are we talking about safety on the trains themselves? What?
Well, there are three actually issues. One is the explosiveness of the oil, and the federal government, both Canada and the United States, do not really know how volatile this North Dakota crude is or what makes it act the way it does. But it's clearly been far more volatile than the traditional crude we usually think of. And again, this oil is not a thick black viscous oil. It looks a little bit more like gasoline. The other thing is that the containers they are putting this oil into are the only containers that were around. They're called the DOT 111. And since 1991, the National Transportation Safety Board has been warning that these rail cars tend to breach or rupture whenever they derail. And if they happen to be carrying this kind of oil and they breach and rupture, there will be an explosion. The third issue, of course, is whether the train system, the rail system, which was sort of being neglected, it was really falling into disrepair, whether it's ready to suddenly become a workhorse for moving this kind of volatile crude oil, especially in defective rail cars.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because, 15, 20 years ago, rail traffic of any kind was on the decline and, railroad beds were being closed and all that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, you've had this frack boom and they're having capacity issues. They're having all sorts of stuff like that. And I'm reading more and more. There was a local paper here in Wisconsin that did a story about 2 weeks ago on some of the infrastructure, bridges and so forth. And these are big challenges. Who in America is watching this sort of thing?
The responsibility falls to an agency within the Department of Transportation. It's called the Federal Railroad Administration, the FRA. And one of the things that we found in the course of our work this past year was something that surprised us. There are absolutely no engineering standards whatsoever or regulations whatsoever for railroad bridges. And there are, and in fact, the federal government doesn't even know how many they are or where they are. It does not have an inventory of railroad bridges. It estimates there are 70 to 100,000 railroad bridges. We took a very close look at one in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, that is 116 years old. It's a timber trestle bridge. Many of the pilings were rotting at the bottom, and it was in an area where it crosses the river from one downtown, Northport, to another downtown, Tuscaloosa. And on the Tuscaloosa side, it goes right past the Tuscaloosa Amphitheater, which is a venue for music events, and also by an open-air coal pit, and just downstream is a major oil refinery. So the consequences of an oil train explosion there are tremendous. What we found was simply we have to take the chief engineer's word for the railroad's word that bridge is stable and safe to move crude oil over, because the state doesn't look at it and the federal government doesn't look at it. They leave that all to the railroad in terms of making the decision whether the bridge has the sufficient integrity to carry that oil.
Well, an awful lot to think about. And Marcus, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much for talking with us today.
Pleasure.
We've been talking with investigative journalist Marcus Stern. His article on America's aging oil train network was reported in collaboration with the Nation Institute's Investigative Fund. And you can check it out for yourself on weather.com. Just follow the link from the Central Time website or our Facebook page.